Hi, it's Laura, and I'm ready for a new segment of Chat 360. You know, the whole idea behind my podcast is to really chat, and I mean a casual conversation, with local community members about topics that are pretty hot today. And one of those really touches close to my heart because it's the use of artificial intelligence in art. Now, my background is not as a radio DJ, but as an art teacher. And I very much enjoyed bringing out the expression, self-expression of my students through art. And I have gotten on my soapbox more than once about the importance of that. And I will be the first one to tell you that I believe art is extremely important in a person's life. And if we had more of that self-expression, maybe we would need less therapy. I'm not sure, but that's my thought process here. So there is a controversy surrounding AI-generated art, and that is stemming from concerns about creativity, originality, copyright, and the impact on the art market. There are several controversial AI artworks that have gained popularity in recent times. Now, who better to speak with me today, to chat with me casually, he was kind of worried about that, about artificial intelligence and the use in art, than my dear friend Michael Toussaint, who is the director of the La Trobe Arts Center. Good morning.
Good morning.
You were pretty excited about this once we really kind of talked about what this was going to be about.
Yeah, definitely. I was a little nervous at first because, you know, I'm not super well versed in all of the developments, but after doing some deep diving these past few weeks on, you know, into what's going on and some of the controversy, I definitely have strong feelings now about
Good.
The topic. So,
Good.
You know, I'm excited to chat about this.
Okay. I want somebody with strong feelings. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say that, you know, this podcast is definitely saying AI generated art is bad. I think we have an influx of artificial intelligence products that are coming out now. And some of it is bad and some of it is good. And you and I talked about that. It depends on the situation, like you said. So your job, your career, is working with local artists who have created by their own hand artworks, and you put them into exhibits and you have art shows.
Yeah.
Have you run into, so far, artists who have used any type of artificial intelligence for their art? Now, you did talk about digital artwork. So
which is a little different. Yeah. So I don't think at the Art Center we have any current members who, you know, who employ AI to create or to generate their artwork.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have several artists who work within the digital arts field, whether that's through stuff on an iPad with different programs where they're still physically doing something, you know, they're still physically painting or creating, but on a tablet as opposed to with a brush and a canvas. So we have a couple members doing that kind of thing. A couple of our photographers that we have as member artists, they do some crazy things now with like Photoshop and overlaying things, which is an art form. You know, it really is. That is still an art. And I actually also, outside of the Art Center, and this is probably the closest thing I've seen to what we would refer to as AI-involved art or so.
All right.
But it's actually at St. Vincent at the Verasco Center of the Arts. They have an artist there who actually just recently passed. But the way he produced his artwork was through using certain algorithms and basically plugging that into a computer. And then the computer generates these images based on the algorithms that he created. Or that he creates. So that's probably the closest thing I've ever seen, which I don't really consider that AI generated artwork, because You know, he's still creating these algorithms. He still has this vision for a design. He doesn't necessarily know maybe per se what was going to come out of it all, but there's definitely full involvement and control over what's going on in the process.
So you said he passed?
Yeah.
Okay, so I could theoretically then take his algorithms and create a piece of artwork and slap his name on it without him being alive.
That's where it gets a little, yeah, that's where it gets.
I'm just trying to be the devil's advocate
No,
here.
But that's where it gets a little bit complicated. And again, I don't know his full process, so I'm sure that he did other things as well to produce whatever images he ended up coming up with at the end. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's as simple as saying that. But that, though, leads us into the issue at hand with AI-generated artwork, because mm-hmm. how AI works is that it takes, it's data collection on a very large, very fast scale, where computers will reach out and collect all these images and all this data from all over the place. You know, it's different because it's not like it's gaining inspiration from these pieces. It's literally taking pieces of art that exists mm-hmm. and replicating it in
but
a slightly...
But is that a copyright? Are there copyright infringements then?
Well, and that's the big argument. I would say yes, personally.
Because I know there's a machine called DALL-E 2, and what it does is you can input something like, I want an impressionist watercolor painting style.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they'll gather data from other impressionist artists' paintings
mm-hmm.
and put it into a quote-unquote new work of art.
Mm-hmm.
But then you are stealing, are you not, from the original artist?
My short answer is yes. That okay. is what's happening.
Yes.
Is that, you know, pieces of art are being stolen. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, while there are still advancements happening, and I'm sure it'll become even wilder as time moves
sure.
on. Mm-hmm. But the stage that we're in now with AI is that it isn't producing an original thought. Like, it's not producing an original work of art.
Yes.
It's really not. Because, again, you know, we have artists through the generations. Okay, so we're discussing Impressionism. You know, there are dozens of Impressionist artists who have learned from each other, are inspired by one another, and mm-hmm. have created their own original works of art, sometimes inspired by a particular artist, maybe a particular piece. But it's really their own at the end of the day,
that's
because
true.
Impressionism
yes.
in and of itself is just a style of art. So, you know, that's why we have several Impressionist artists who employ similar styles, but really they're still creating their own works of art. Now, if you would ask AI to create mm-hmm. an Impressionist watercolor piece, it's not just saying, oh, well, the style of Impressionism is this, so I'm going to create a brand new piece with a brand new subject that no one's ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
It can't quite do that. It's literally pulling pieces from existing pieces and just merging and replicating that
right.
way. So right. that's where it gets a little sticky, because, like you said, I would say that it's literally stealing from artists.
Right. And how do you copyright something that never existed until it was computer generated?
Mm-hmm.
Can you copyright something like that? Who does it belong to?
That's a good question. Well, and that's where we get into some dangerous territory, I think, too, with just the art market itself. Because, yeah, if you're sitting there asking a computer to generate something that's already not going to be, it's not going to be original per se when it mm-hmm. finishes the piece.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it really can be copyrighted, because it's already made up of technically pre-copyrighted pieces of artwork.
Does that make it illegal then?
I think right now it would, in a way. Well, it depends what you're doing with it, I would mm-hmm. say. You know, if you're just asking AI to create the certain artwork for this and this reason, but you're not trying to sell it to make a profit from it, then I think there can be more open-ended discussion. It's not so black and white, but I mm-hmm. think if you are asking AI to do something, to create a piece of art, and then you're trying to sell it, I would say that's not okay.
So then you would not be okay with the article that I read in the New York Times that said there was an AI-generated piece of artwork that won in a recent art showing.
Yeah, no. I would not be okay with that.
Now, when someone hands in to you a digital piece mm-hmm. that's been created digitally, can you tell the difference between something that was done digitally or, say, a photograph? Okay. And I took photography in the past.
Yeah.
And I loved going into the dark room and creating my own effects and developing that picture and adding my own experience and my own journey to that piece of artwork, to that photograph. How does that differ from something that's digitally enhanced? And should it be considered the same in the same category? I mean, because I can take anything that I do and it might not be perfect, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to enhance it. It's kind of like every phone now, you know, I have a Google Pixel 3 phone. What's the big calling card with that phone is that you can go in and erase things out of the photograph. Mm-hmm. You can put in things that weren't there before. You can unblur the images. You can enhance it with a different quality of light. What happens then to the creativity that you put into the original photograph?
See, I would actually argue that that process, though, of editing is putting in your own creativity to the photo as well. So, you know, the art of just taking the photograph itself at the right angle, capturing light in a certain way. Yeah, absolutely. That's, and people sometimes leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're doing film photography and you're going into a dark room, there's all sorts of manipulation that you have to get it just right to come out. And you know, you have full control.
That's the part
you
of
sort of
being
have
artwork.
Control and sort of don't have control because you don't know what the chemicals are going to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But with digital photography, I know for a fact too that not all art people would agree with this, but I still view that as pretty much a fully controlled by the artist form of art, where there's still, you know, I've seen photographers come in, they'll take a portrait shot of, you know, some model, mm-hmm. let's say, and then maybe they'll put it into Photoshop and like overlay it with these different textures or something to give it a certain look, or maybe they'll adjust the lighting, maybe they'll remove something out of it altogether and flip things around, See, in my mind, that's still the artist.
The creative process.
That's still part of the creative process for that for that type of, you know, for that medium.
Okay.
But when it comes to shows and competing with, you know, competing with these pieces, every gallery, every museum has probably different rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
I know for several of our shows, we do sometimes have separate categories when we designate awards. Sometimes we'll designate awards in categories rather than just let it be a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then sometimes we do, you know, sometimes it is the other way. Sometimes it is just kind of a free-for-all. But, you know, I think that is really more subjective and at the discretion of that particular gallery and how they view art and the creative process of artists in general when it comes to these different mediums, because, you know, there's always this big argument, well, you know, what's fine art? What's this? What's that? Is photography even art? You know,
mm-hmm.
that takes us into a whole other, you know,
yes,
a whole other conversation.
Yes,
but, you know, long story short, I still view that whole type of editing process as part of the artist's creative process.
You know, honestly, I think what worries me about this is the loss of human expression in art. And it takes me to Japan, where the things that they create, they put a flaw into them on purpose so that you realize they've been created by a human hand. And I love that thought process. And I'm afraid that we will lose that.
I would agree with that.
I mean,
for sure.
You know, we can have a beautifully rendered picture, but maybe we lose the humanity and the true expression in it because it's too perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think specific to AI generated art, it does lose a sense of human emotion and expression because it's already regurgitating an existing human emotion expression from existing pieces of artwork.
Right.
And basically watering it down. Watering those feelings and emotions down from those pieces that already...
That's a good point, right.
You know, that's kind of how I view it is when you're pulling from so many existing pieces of artwork to create something computer-generated, it's just watering down what's already there. And again, you know, back to artists who work in digital arts, I still view that as different because the effects that they apply to, let's say, a photograph...
Mm-hmm.
Those effects could convey certain emotions. Like they're still fully controlling what's happening, you know, adjusting levels of light and adjusting placement. Like they still have full control over the piece, and they are creating a new piece.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's interesting.
I buy into that thought process. You know, they were saying, I was looking at, you know, the benefits and the disadvantages, and they were saying that AI art can maximize the efficiency of artists by maybe sparking creativity, inspiring someone's first step. Mm-hmm. And someone, actually an interior designer, was asked if they thought it would take their job away by having AI step in. And she said, I think there's an element of good design that requires the empathic or empathetic touch of a human. So she does not feel that it will do that. What do you think about that thought?
I think I would agree with her, because at the end of the day, you know, I think that all of these developments in AI can certainly be helpful and used, like, you know, to be honest, I mean, I use ChatGPT or, you know, OpenAI to help me write, like, really important emails sometimes.
Radio scripts.
Well, but, like, seriously, though, when it comes to, like, speech writing, or, like, if I need to get an email that's important, I need to really get it right. I'll sometimes like type it into the chat and ask for it to generate some kind of email for me, which I then edit to make it what I need it to be exactly. But I mean, sometimes it does give you like just that right type of wording. And, you know, in those kind of cases, I think that's great. Again, I'm just like confessing to the world here that I do use AI sometimes, like, you know, for help with certain things in my job. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, most people want to deal with people when it comes to daily life. You know, even when you're on the phone and you're, you know, you're calling a business and, you know, you get some kind of Siri person, you know, some kind of recording, and you're on the phone, I want to talk to a human. You know, I think that still applies to most things in daily life right now in society, to be honest. Like, people still want to interact with humans. People still, you know, when it comes to interior design, maybe that designer, to generate some like base thoughts, some framework, maybe, maybe AI could be used there to assist, and that would be great. But at the end of the day, I think there still needs to be that person there. Now, I don't know, that could change certainly down the road, which I would be wary of personally, because, you know, what other jobs would go next?
Right.
But
radio
yeah, there,
DJs.
I still think a person needs to be involved and have some kind of final say.
Okay, like, this conversation has gone so fast. I think we could keep talking about this forever and ever.
Definitely.
But as a final question, do you think that AI art poses a risk to human artists and their opportunity to earn money with their art? You weren't ready for that one.
Well, I don't know. I would like to think, as of right now, no, because, you know, as someone who appreciates art, there is something special about walking up to a painting and, you know, getting up real close and personal with it and being able to see each individual brushstroke that artist made
and feel their hand in it.
Sure. And depending on the, and, you know, that really inspires people to buy. And at the gallery, at the art center, you know, that's half of our mission. In addition to offering, you know, the classes and workshops we have, we are primarily a membership art gallery where the goal is to sell the artwork that we have on display.
That's right.
And just based on the people who come in, now granted, everyone has, you know, their preferences in terms of the art and style of art and the types of pieces that they buy or that they're interested in buying and whatnot. But I don't know. I think right now, I don't think it would really hurt the artists. Now, it depends, though, on the price point that we're talking about, because an oil painting that's, I don't know what size, like 24 by 36 could go for anywhere from like $800 to $8,000, depending on the artist and the piece.
Right. And the hour spent.
And the hour spent. Exactly.
Yes.
So, you know, when you're thinking about it that way, and then if someone's over here also trying to sell an AI generated piece of artwork for $40 because they had to click a few buttons and then pay to print whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know if people would opt to buy a piece like that just to save some money and just to have then some artwork in their house, or if they would still opt to like save up and invest in
something
more traditional piece of artwork created by a human? I don't know. That's a good question. And I would hope that people continue to lean toward supporting artists and supporting local artists by purchasing their work over just buying a cheap knockoff.
I think that's a good a way as any to close out this podcast. And again, today I have been speaking with the very emotional and well-prepared gentleman here, Michael Toussaint, the director of the La Trobe Arts Center, on AI-created artwork. And it's been a very fascinating subject. And yeah. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank
we could
you
go
again.
On and on.
Oh, yes. Yes, we could.
All right. Thanks, Michael. So I hope you enjoyed this segment of Chat 360. And what I'm really hoping is that when you listen to my segments, it sparks a conversation, a dialogue between you and your friends or your family, other community members, and you can discuss how you feel about these topics. Thanks for joining me today.